Besides the celebration of the Easter Vigil, it is my firm opinion that this Mass of the Last Supper is the most sublime celebration of the Church. And there's a very beautiful and deep, rich reason for that, which God began to open up for you and me way, 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 way back when he began to prepare that rich meaning in his people Israel. There's this interesting concept in Christian theology. It's called typology. Okay, I'm not going to bore you, don't worry. What is typology? It's this. It's when God decides to use something as a model, as a preparation that will be revealed more fully later on in its entirety, in its glory. It's a really important way that we understand how God speaks to us. God uses images, God uses analogies, God uses models as a way to, so to speak, warm the heart, ready the mind, prepare us, so that as we learn, as we make ourselves ready, when we come to the place where the reality happens, we can appreciate it for what it truly is. Right? Think about walking into one of Beethoven's greatest symphonies, having no clue whatsoever about classical music, or about who the composer was, or about what his life was about. And what you might hear before you could be interesting. You might fall asleep. It could bore you. You're not sure. But you'd get done with it and you'd say, like, oh, that's nice. However, what if you studied classical music and you knew the nuances of music theory and you knew Beethoven's life story backwards and forwards and you knew that when you walked in and you were going to hear his Ninth Symphony tonight, the last symphony that he ever made, that he made, in fact, after years of not making anything whatsoever because he was deaf. And he was crushed. And at the end of his life, what was it that he created? After all of that struggle, after all of that depression, after all of that heavy weight, what did he call his last work? An ode to joy. And if you walked in with that knowledge to that performance that night, there would be an entirely different ability to see the reality and be humbled before it. And be taken up into it. Did we hear that in the first reading? Listen again. What's going on in the book of Exodus? God says this, you shall take the lamb's blood, and you shall mark the doorposts and the lintels of your house. For I say to you this very night, the angel of death shall sweep through Egypt to bring forth God's righteous justice. But having seen the blood of the lamb upon your doorway, the angel of death shall pass over your household. This is a supreme example of scriptural typology. In other words, God giving you a lesson so that later on, when you see the reality, you're going to be like, oh, mind blown. That's amazing. You see, because what did God know? What was God preparing? What was God doing when he was preparing his people Israel to leave slavery in Egypt? Was it really a piece of wood that held up a doorpost that was going to actually be the thing that could save a soul? Of course not. Salvation couldn't be won by you and I traveling to a distant country so that we could stand inside of a little hut with the blood of a lamb that was smeared over some pieces of wood. No, but that is what was making ready the greater and more important story, which is this, that God was using that moment in human history, those houses of the people Israel, so that though the doorposts, the entryways of those houses being marked in the blood of a lamb, which is what the cause of their salvation was, might speak to you about the household of the human heart, which is truly what God came to save. God did not came to mark a piece of wood so that you could pass from the angel of death God came to mark the household of your heart, the doorposts, the lintels of your heart, so that you would be saved. And here's what is so fascinating about that. How can you possibly get blood on your heart? You see what God was deciding in his mercy and in his providence to prepare for us in this celebration, the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Because in this celebration of the Lord's Supper, two things came to be that were not before. The Holy Eucharist and the Holy Priesthood. And these two realities are what cause blood to be marked upon the doorway of your heart so that you can be saved. I want you to consider how sublime that is. God, in his wisdom, in instituting the Holy Priesthood, decided to take very imperfect, small, humble men. And here's what he said: I have to save my people. What can I do to save my people? Well, I can create some sheep and I can tell them to put some blood on some pieces of wood. Yeah, I guess that would work. No, I can do something better. Maybe I'll just split the sea so that they can walk through it, so that my greatness can be shown forth and they can believe in my miraculous power to free them from slavery. Yeah, maybe I'll do that. No, actually, I have something better. My people need salvation, so do you know what I shall do? I shall create an immortal soul to become their personal servant so that they can go to heaven. In order to save you, in order to bring the blood of Christ to you and to the doorway of your heart, God in his mercy and in his sublime love went so far as to create something immortal, someone's immortal, to become a personal servant to you personally. God decided to create human souls whose single purpose for all eternity is to be beneath you. And this is the place where he did that. That's a pretty special gift. You know, in all the ways that God could have chosen to bring us his divine life, God says, I'm going to do it in a way that I can't take it back. I'm not going to do it in a thing. I'm going to do it for them in a soul, in souls. So the humility of the priesthood, the glory of the priesthood is something that, as whether we're priests or whether we're lay faithful, every time you lay eyes upon a priest, remember this. The only reason he exists is to be your servant. You see, in a certain way, my existence is actually derivative to yours. If you didn't exist, I am not necessary. I'm not. But God decided to create you, which means God decided to save you, which means God decided to create me to serve you. It's the only thing I'm going to do for the rest of my life and in all eternity. For you. For you. That's the Mass of the Last Supper. Because in this humble servant, and we pray that these servants are holy, or at least working as hard as they can to be holy, in this humble servant, the blood of the Lamb is brought forth so that you may actually receive the blood into you. And by receiving the blood into your body, that blood marks the doorways of your heart so that the angel of death may pass over you and you may receive eternal salvation. Jesus began telling that story in the people Israel, and we have the phenomenal benefit to be able to see that on the other side. We don't have to wait to see the ending of that movie. We just get to enjoy it. We just get to ponder it in the depths of our hearts with great gratitude to God I am so grateful that God created me for the sole purpose of being your servant. Because in that servanthood, my life finds its only completion. There's no other way for me. And it's a great day for me especially to just think about that on my birthday, which is a time when you think about your life anyways, and to just to ponder God's goodness for you and for me. That he did this for us. So that in a very real way, we need each other, right? In this kind of mystery, I actually need you all. Otherwise, God wouldn't have needed to hold me in his eternal mind and create me. And in this really beautiful, poetic way, you kind of need me too, because you actually need someone to serve you. Because if God doesn't place someone below you as your servant, you can't actually go to heaven. So let's just have our hearts full tonight. Let's have our hearts full tonight with gracious thanksgiving that God gives us to each other. And God initiated that relationship here in a most specific sacramental way at the Mass of the Lord's Supper, so that we too, in being able to ponder this, may know that Jesus gives us a model. But just as we receive the service of a priest, we may see in his service a holy model for our own lives. I am so grateful that you all exist. I am so grateful that God has given to me to serve you humbly, so that by your example I may become more holy, so that by my example you may become more holy, and so that the blood of Jesus most of all may mark the doorways of our hearts, that we may all come to eternal life with God Almighty. Thank you, Jesus.